Welcome to the Most High Show, a show about recovery, spirituality, and all that. Produced, posted, and hosted by people in recovery who have strength and hope and want to share it with you. If you or someone you love is suffering, we want you to know you are not alone. This is the Most High Show.
I have an outline. I lost the outline. It took forever to find it. That was very stressful. But my queen, she found it. It was on the side of Andrew's desk here. So I think Andrew saw it and was like, what's this crap? Threw it to the side. I don't think he did that. But that's what my head, you know, everyone's my enemy in my brain. So a god of your own convenience. I have wrote on the desk here, it says urgency. And that's to remind me, like, why the crap am I talking about this? You know? Because this is important. I really believe this is important stuff. Because I've lived, the god of my own convenience has created so much heartache in my own life. So much of the uncertainty of my will, God's will, asserting my own will and masquerading it as God's will, you know? You ever have a conversation with someone and they're like, you know, I just really don't think God's leading me in that direction. And it's like, come on, man. We know you just don't want to do it. We know you just don't want to do it. And how do we know that? Because I know that because that's me. That's how I am. Or how I've been. And so this concept of a god of your own understanding is not a god of your own convenience. You know, it's really easy to take religious literature, scripture, teachings, and pack it into a bowl of candy that only you like to eat. Like a bowl of green M&Ms, because maybe you only like the green M&Ms, or Skittles. It was earlier this year. I'd gotten to maybe last year. I want to say last year, so it sounds like it's further away, but I'd gotten to this huge argument, and I was with my wife. And I was so full of myself, you know. Oh, don't you know how important I think I am? Don't you know? Don't you know? And so I was like, man, I went and jumped on a Uber and went to a hotel. Got a hotel, and I was in this hotel, you know, laid up. Called my sponsor. He's like, bro, you really think you should be in a hotel right now? Like, that's probably not wise. You know, you got mad at your wife. Like, maybe you should just go home and apologize, you know. I'm like, what do you know? What do you know? And I'm around 2 or 3 in the morning. You know, I'm sitting in that hotel room stewing, right? Waiting for her to, you know, text me. Baby, I need you to come home. Please come home. Right? It's just this ego. Oh, monstrous, demonstrous behavior. It's not good. And so I never get that text. Because she's moved on, you know, she doesn't have this same deal in her brain like I got. And so I eventually am like, you know, hey, is it cool if I come home? You know, a moment of clarity. And so I got a hotel that was close to the house and I started walking home. And so I'm walking home and I'm having this conversation with God, right? Like, why? Why, God? Why is this happening? Why is this still happening? Why am I here? Why am I walking home from a hotel room at 3 in the morning, you know, sober than a gopher? What's going on? Why am I so messed up? Blah, 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 right? I mean, in tears. This is an emotional, pivotal moment for me, right? And as I turn the corner to come into the subdivision, my subdivision, I had this spark. A revelation, some may say. The Lord told me. No, the Lord didn't tell me. But I did have this kind of moment where I was like, oh, snap. I ain't been talking to God this whole time. I've been talking to my ego. And my ego had been masquerading as God the whole time. Trip, right? Oh, this background music's too quiet. I don't know if that makes sense to you, and I want to see if I can try to help to understand that. But it's like, when you think that you know everything there is to know about your God, your higher power, it's not much of a higher power anymore, is it? Right? There's no mystery to that. Right? If there's no leading you into the unknown or into uncomfortability, then what really is happening there? And for me, that's when I realized that I had created this caricature. I have created an idol. This idol that was supposed to make me feel better when I didn't feel good. Make me feel better now that I'm walking home from my demonstrative behavior, full on, reckless, just assholeness. Make me feel better about this. And why ain't you making me feel better? You're not listening. You're not here. You know that whole conversation. When really I think it was my ego masquerading for a lot of that time. And it was useful for a period of time. It was useful. But at this moment, I realized that I had kind of had this God of my own convenience. And so that began the dismantling of my whole architecture of what I thought God to be. It started years before that, maybe a year and a half before that. So this was probably the result of that building up. The thing about a God of your own convenience, it keeps you in the center. A God of your own convenience keeps you as the lead role in the movie of your life. And that's what this thing had done to me. This thinking, this false belief had done that to me. It had made me the star of my own movie. You know what I mean? I was in a rap battle once, and this dude, man, he killed me, dude. I was going through the raps, like I was hitting. So I was like, this is like the last round, I think. So if I win this battle, I'm gonna win the battle, the championship. It's like eight people or something. And so this dude gets up there and he calls me a fat Vin Diesel. And I was dead after I was done, dude. I was done. At the time my head was completely shaved. And he called me a fat Vin Diesel. I said, damn, boy. Holy shit. And I was done. I was done. I was done for, man. And I bring Vin Diesel up because we watched a movie with Vin Diesel in it called Bloodshot, which is way better than the critics gave it credit for. But that's who I was. I was a star of my own movie. A God of my own convenience kept me in the center. It kept me as the lead, the role. Everything was revolving around my storyline. My interpretation of events, my interpretation of reality, my interpretation of the conversation, of an argument, of a relationship, how things should be. I was in the center. You know, it's got some notes here. I see here. You don't need willingness with easy. Right? Like when you're the star of the show, right? And a God of your own convenience is there to serve you and your show and your storyline, to make sure that you come out as the top, as the Ichiban. You come off as the hero, the hero's journey. You don't need willingness. The spirit doesn't lead you to waters where your feet don't touch the bottom. Why? Because you got it all planned. It's all. You don't need willing. I don't need willingness to get what I want. If I want to get some McDonald's, I don't need willingness. I just need some money in a car or DoorDash. That's all I need if I want something. But if I'm being led towards something that is good for me, that is something that's doing for me what I can't do for myself, then willingness is the key. It's the thing that unlocks the door to get me to wherever God is leading me. Some literature says here, though self-will may slam it shut again, as it frequently does, it will always respond the moment we pick up the key of willingness. I don't need willingness to follow this God of my own understanding, this greater being, this divine source that knows what I don't, that's leading me to be of service to its people. When I'm the star of the show, when I already know the script, when I'm trying to enforce the script, when I'm trying to enforce everyone to play their role properly in my movie. You know, there's no great story in scripture, really any good story has hardship. You know, it's not like and then he decided to get sober and that was it and life was good. There's hardship. There's resistance. And to go towards that, which is difficult, and letting go of your own interpretation of reality. Richard Rohr has a book called Breathing Underwater, and in it he says that the alcoholic and the addict, right, is no different than anyone else. It's just our affliction, our quote-unquote sin, is on display for everyone to see. And he goes on to say that most people are addicted to their own thinking, to their own interpretation of reality. And if you were to look at some ancient stories, ancient scriptures, you see a leading, right? It talks about God tells someone to go do something that's against the grain, that's against their nature, that's uncomfortable for them. They have to do something that they don't really want to do. Jonah, Abraham. There's a call. That's a call, right? The call. Everyone wants to be called to a six-figure salary to preach at a church. That's a great calling. Shoot, I wish I had that calling. With benefits. And there are those that are, but everybody wants that, right? This guy that writes a devotional, Oswald Chambers says, what if the call is something much simpler for you? Are you still willing to heed that call? What if the call for you, Christian, is to let go of your pride, is to not be so controlling, is to not try to manipulate others and situations to fit your narrative? What if the call for you is to be humble, is to serve others, is to put other people in front of you? in a very practical, in a very low key, not worth Instagram kind of way. What if that's the call? Are you going to heed that call? What if the call is to do the dishes? I had this quote. I don't know where I got this, but I think it's a Buddhist quote or something. It's like, if you can't find a meaning of life doing dishes, you can't find a meaning of life. This little abbot is there, and little monk goes up to the abbot. He says, why are we here? What's the meaning of being here in this monastery? And the abbot says, did you eat your breakfast? And the young man says, well, yeah, I ate my breakfast. It was good. Thank you. He says, okay, then go wash your bowl. That's some wisdom from the ancient fathers, the desert fathers. Then go wash your bowl. Because if you can't get that, then this big existential question is going to elude you. Because you're going to create these ideas and this ideology. And then that's going to be the thing that you call God. Culture trumps ideology. Ideology can trump or has trumped my understanding or willingness to follow whatever the Spirit's calling me to. Because oftentimes it's to something not glamorous. It's to something that's painful. Begrudgingly turn my life and will over to the care of God as I understand it. That's what the process has been for me. Once I got past the God of my own convenience, now all of a sudden, turning my will, turning my life over to care of that, now all of a sudden, it's not so easy, because I'm not the star of the show anymore. I'm not the one that the narratives wrote around to make look good. Yeah, it's easy to talk that shit on the mic, you know? In reality, this is a difficult practice. Difficult practice, but a worthwhile endeavor. I wrote here 10% juice. I was trying to like get, you know, I'm trying to like get better at communicating so I can like, you know, have something that's useful to whoever ends up, unfortunate soul ends up watching this. You know, 10% juice. Why I write 10% juice? Because that's what it was like. A God of my own convenience is like 10% juice. It's all filler. I'm not saying that like the grace of God was not present in my life. That there wasn't moments of a divine leading that I was heeding. But I was operating on 10% juice, baby. I had that cheap juice, that Tampico juice. You know, that's what I had, the Tampico. You ever had Tampico juice? Man, that's sweet. That's like 10% juice, mostly sugar. Was it Adam commented? What's Adam say? Hello, I was taking a nappy and have just awoken. Both of my aces were in napping. I called him because I was trying to convince myself to do this. And I wasn't sure I wanted to do this. And I was really nervous as soon as I hit that live button. The result of a God of your own convenience is not transformation. And I think that's why, and I'm going to go here, I think that's why religious institutions I have not been producing the results that maybe at one point in time they did. Because we have adjusted our understanding of God. We have adjusted it to fit our culture, to fit our life, to fit our thinking, to fit our version of reality. You know? I think of like people that like think like that means that like we have to go back to like the Old Testament living. It's not like that. What you're nervous about? I don't know what I was nervous about. That's a great question. Ego, you know what I mean? Ego. You know? Put yourself out there like that. Tell a story like I just told. You know what I mean? That was a meaningful revelation that I had that night, 3 a.m. walking home. But that's not where it stopped. Like, that was the beginning. That was a beginning of willingness. I became willing, you know. I don't know what I was nervous about. I think I was nervous about not doing this right, messing it up, not communicating it properly, missing something, right? Landing the plane. That's kind of a thing that I've had an issue with in communication, landing the plane. I have here also, it's like painting a car and expecting it to drive differently. It's like painting a car and expecting it to drive differently. Man, this paint job ain't do shit for my brakes. That's what it's like. You know, like my, whatever you want to call it, container, my ego, my flesh, my false self, my lower self, whatever words help you to get this, whatever that is, like, wants that paint job to be nice. I want people to like me. I want people to respect me. And ultimately, I think it comes from a deeper desire that I want to help. I really do. I want to help. I want to help you to find a way through this God of your own convenience concept. Because what I've found on the other end of that, on the other side of that, is just this like amazing awakening, this flow, this thing that's not always pleasant, but I see other people begin to blossom. Because I'm no longer trying to control the narrative anymore. I'm not trying to do that. I feel like they were designed to provide services in the community. Oh, well, yes. Initially, yeah, they all got together and were like, hey, let's do this. The early Christian church for sure was about, you know, there was a damn cult, really. It was like David Koresh with the tracksuit. That's how they were. Nobody went without back in them days. If someone was without, they made it happen. That's how it was. And it just becomes this thing of thinking. It becomes... That's why it's like it's hard to have a conversation about God, because that word brings up so much for people. It's not sufficient. It's not sufficient. You know, in this a God of your own inconvenience, even that, it's just like, what's, you know, rocking chair. I have a rocking chair down here too. Rocking chair because Will was saying that Mitchell told him, don't worry about me. That's like sitting in a rocking chair and expecting to go somewhere. All you're doing is rocking back and forth. That's all worry does. That's all a god of your own convenience results in. It's just a bunch of y'all just sitting together, rocking your chair back and forth, going like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, bless his heart, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, bless his heart, bless her heart. Pray for them. Well, you know, I really love Jesus, and there's a lot of things that I really love about Jesus. One of the things I really love about Jesus is he says, follow me. He says, and some guy goes up to him, and there's an account of this. A guy goes up to him, and he's like, you know, I want to follow you, basically. He's like, are you sure? Because, this, you know, I ain't got no place to live. You know? Foxes have dens, you know, birds got nests. I'm ad libbing that, but I don't got a place to live. So you want to follow me? You sure? Count the cost. But following implies that we're going somewhere. And in order to go somewhere, you have to leave some things behind. And a god of my own convenience is like, I'm trying to get the best of everything. I want it all. You know? I want to feel good about myself and all my actions. And I want to, you know, have a place to go when I die. You know, it's all like me. Me. It's about me. Right? And, you know? To be perfectly frank, I really do not. Oh, this is Bruce Lee. Adam read this the other night. This is really good. To be perfectly frank, I really do not believe in God. This is Bruce Lee saying this. If there is a God, he is within. Again, he, right? Like some dude. You don't ask God to give you things. You depend on God for inner theme. So I like this inner theme concept. Before I go to inner theme, though, you don't ask God to give you things, right? That statement right there, there's another statement that's similar to that. And I don't know who to credit this to. Oh, so maybe it's worth looking up. It's called the Ground of Being. That God is the ground of being. God is called the ground of being in part because God is the answer to... Well, that's shit. That's too many big words. Essentially, what I understand this ground of being is that God is life. God is the nature in which things exist. Right? God is not outside of the box peeking in. Didn't create the box and then go, okay, cool, and then he's looking in. Which is a popular theological view of God. This is why the word God is so, it's like a bad word. Because it's oftentimes thought of as this character looking at you, a Santa Claus, who knows when you're sleeping, knows when you've been good, knows when you've been bad, right? The ground, the God being the ground of being, God being the very thing that is, right? The first time that God comes on the scene in Jewish scripture, he announces himself as I am. That's how he comes on the scene. Like if this was like a scene in a movie and the character God comes on the scene, he just comes on and goes, I am. He don't pop up like, hey, you want to know how gravity works? Hey, you want to know how I can make your life better? That's not how God is introduced in ancient scripture. In the Jewish scripture, he's introduced as I am. Boy, come on. How do we miss this? How do we miss this? I am. That's it. Like, reality itself. Everything, Then this, I like the second line here, you know, that you depend on God for an inner theme. And I think inner theme, I think we'd have to really have the read the rest of this book, but I believe what it's getting at is this, and is an inner discipline. To get this inner theme, first you got to get past all the themes of the false self, all the themes of the ego, all the themes of culture, all the themes of society, all these themes that you think you're supposed to be. I'm supposed to be this certain thing. And we're in a video game. We don't know it, right? Or we're playing a video game, and we think that we're in the character in the video game. And I think that when you can get past that, and you can realize that you're not the character in the video game, that you are the one with the controller. Right? The inner thing, but you have the power. Every time I say you have the power, I think of He-Man. That's just because I'm my age. And because I watch Saturday morning cartoons. All right, here we go. I love how Adam's like in the show on the live. I love you, bro. The moment you turn your will and life over to the care of God, as you understand it, the rest of your life is none of your business. It doesn't matter what we get or what we give. It's about embodying our true nature, allowing the flow of life to express itself through and around us without knowing or judgment. Yeah, that's layers deep, bro. Layers deep. Layers deep. Because, like, there is life. Right? Tell the fox, tell the rabbit who's in the mouth of the fox that it don't matter what it gets or gives. That rabbit is like hollering. Right? This is layers deep here, bro. Layers deep, because we still hear. We still hear. This is the beauty, I think, of, and this is why I stick with the Jesus narrative for me, because the incarnation, the God and man combined in one, this divinity, what happens here matters.
What this is saying then is,
that's the thing.
That just as you don't know how you manage to be conscious, how you manage to grow and shape this body of yours.
Come on.
That doesn't mean to say that you're not doing it. Equally,
it's perfect
you
timing.
Don't know,
I didn't script that.
How the universe shines the stars, constellates the constellation, and galactifies the galaxy.
Galactifies? You don't know.
But that doesn't mean to say that you aren't doing it in just the same way as you're breathing without knowing how you breathe.
Ooh. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Listen to Alan. Isn't that awesome? He came in right at the right time. Yeah. I think that's the thing about what I love about the concept of service to others. That being kind of a governing principle in my life. Because it means that I can't get so existential, right, that I forget that person who's suffering, who's still in that container. My role, I believe, as a minister, as a servant of the people, is to bridge that gap. And in order for me to bridge that gap, I can't forget what it's like to pretend that I'm the character in the video game. Right? You ever try to go help somebody? This is why only another addict really is the most success helping another addict. Or why an alcoholic really can help another alcoholic. Because we've been there. We know what that's like. And the moment you forget that, the moment you become disconnected and you're no longer of service. These ideologies, these principles, so difference between ideology and principles, right? Like these are great, there's great ideas and concepts, right? And those things can serve us so long as we're the main character in the film, right? But the moment that it becomes about someone else's movie, and you ain't even catering, you ain't even parking. You don't even get parking credit on the film. But you swoop in to help. A god of your own convenience, I think, robs me. God of my own convenience robs me of the ability to truly put others first. And, you know, like it just keeps pushing me to that, to the Jesus narrative. Jesus says that the only way to really topple this thing, the only real way to combat this is to not play its game, is to surrender completely to it. So the reason why this is important is because a God of your own convenience keeps you in the center, right? It doesn't require any willingness because it's all about you and your convenience. And that there's a great journey ahead for us and for you if you're willing to no longer be God. It's like, let me find a God that aligns with me and my thinking. It's the equivalent to, needing advice about something. And you call a bunch of people until you find the one person who gives you the advice that you really want, who tells you what you really want to hear. And then you go, oh, yeah, see, that's what I'm doing. You want to do that anyway. You're finna do that anyway. You just needed someone to co-sign your bullshit. So think about that on the level of God. You know, if you got a God that's co-signing all your bullshit, well then, why do you think we got all these people who aren't being transformed by religion? I think a true encounter with whatever God is results in transformation, some way, shape, or form. Even if it takes a while. Yeah. I mean, Alan. Oh, yeah. Service to others is essential. Service to yourself. We're all just a bunch of gods flooding through a God-shaped space bubble. Yeah. Right? Love it. It's essential. It's essential. The steps are so great at that. It's such a great framework to keeping you. And humility is such a great thing. You think about the great philosophers and teachers, you know. They didn't write nothing down. You know what I mean? I don't think Jesus was talking about like, hey man, make sure you write this down because this is going to be good. I don't think Buddha wrote anything down either. You know? Shoot, the author of the book for Taoism, they didn't even really know who he was. Right? I'm not going to say his name because I'll butcher it. And I don't want to sound like an idiot any more than I already do. So I think humility is a good, and I think service to others kind of does that. You know, not in some way that's like, you go up to a food to a soup kitchen, and you feed the homeless. And you feel bad about yourself because you go home to a 3,000 square foot house, and you're like, oh, man, so blessed. That's not humility. That's just more ego. Anyway, I think I beat this thing down to the ground. Don't know that I've landed it. And that's okay, I guess. I guess it's okay that it's not landed because I'm not landed. I got a lot to learn. I got a lot to learn about this process and what it really truly means to be an agent. In Christianity, there's this theme that we're all ministers. I really love that. You know, we're all ministers. We all have the capability within us to minister to someone else. And to truly do that, it takes humility. It takes getting over yourself. And if a God of your own convenience is keeping you in yourself, then let's start looking at that. Let's start looking at that. All right. Jesus meets you where you are, but he won't stay there with you. He's like, follow me. Yeah, right. He meets them in their environment. He meets the tax collector at the tax table, right? He meets the street worker on the streets. He meets the Christian in the hood of Bakersfield, California, and says, come, follow me. Come follow me. You don't know where we're going. Just follow me. So, I want to just say, I guess one last, I don't know if this is last, but, you know, it doesn't mean this has to be hard. Okay? It doesn't mean this has to be painful. But I think an appropriate amount of resistance is confirmation of that maybe we're moving in the right direction. Right? In our weakness, there's the strength. But you don't get that strength, that divine strength, if you don't acknowledge your own weakness, if you don't get out of the way. So long as you and your God think you got this, then where is that power coming in? You have definitely beat this down. Definitely beat it down. Yeah. So that's what I got. I sincerely hope that it's been somewhat helpful. I'm sure we'll get a couple clips out of this that will help. I'm sure we will. Check it out. I'm going to fade this down. And we're going to go out with Chromosome. Wait, before we do, I think we had another comment from my boy here. Is he saying anything else? Nope.
I do. When I'm with you, I raised in California. Cali. And I'm not trying to make you do something you don't want. I'm just trying to break us free from this bondage, from all of this drama. It's in my DNA, girl, there's no one to blame. And still you call me everything but my name, including insane, crazy, and high. Don't ask me that question, girl, you know we'll get by. It's as simple as love, babe, we just need to try. Don't worry about them, cause it's just you and I. She simply said no, label me a hoe. What? I said, how you figure? She slammed the front door on my nose.
Why do I do these things in. I do?
Girl, I gotta get my clothes.
When I'm with you, I never feel alone.
Open the door.
The sun is shining, we can start brand new. Why do I do these things I do?
Do they get it from their mama? Do they get it from their dad? Do they get it from their mama?
Do
they get it from their dad?
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to add something here in case anybody here is listening. But if you're, because of this situation, unable to work, and so you're kind of running low on funds, maybe it's been a minute, and you're looking at kind of like buying groceries or buying food. Man, you ain't even got to be this deep, but if it is this deep, please message us. We have systems and things in place to be able to get meals to you, delivered to you if you can't get it. So I just want to make sure to say that. There's no shame. We're not going to screenshot the conversation. We just want to do it. We want to help you. So, all right. This is the Most High Show.